Thank you. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the Gospel of John. John chapter number 15. John chapter 15. I want to read verses 1 through 10. And I want to talk to you this morning about bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. John 15 verses 1 through 10. And we have been trying to emphasize outreach, mission efforts this month, and I appreciate all of you who have passed out tracts and try to talk to your neighbors, and it is making a difference. The Lord is glorified when we do that. Souls will be saved. The challenge this week is to pass out at least 15 tracts again, but to try to present the gospel to someone. And sometimes it's easier to give someone a tract than it is to try to talk to them about their soul and where they're going to spend eternity. 10 out of 10 people die It's appointed a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. You'll stand before God one day. If you do not receive Christ as your Savior, you will spend eternity in hell. God does not want that. Amen. He does not want you to go to hell. The Lord does not rejoice in the death of the wicked. He takes no pleasure in that. He died so that you would have forgiveness of your sins and eternal life.
Right.
The fact that he died proves that he wants you in heaven.
Amen.
So if you go to hell, it's because you rejected God's offer of eternal life. It'll be your own fault. It's not going to be God's fault. It'll be your fault because all you had to do was receive a gift, accept it, and believe on it and trust in him. Amen. And you said no to the gift of eternal life. And we pray that if you've not yet settled in your heart, your need for Christ, you've not received Christ as your Savior, we are asking you today to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, because you never know what's going to happen tomorrow.
That's right?
Right? Amen. We don't know that we'll see the sun set this evening. There's no guarantee for any one of us. And so if you leave this world without Christ, you'll have to suffer eternity without Christ. You don't want that.
Amen.
And so please come to Jesus. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. Jesus says to his disciples, I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, or prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for this Lord's Day. We thank you for an opportunity, Lord, to open up the scriptures and think about the things of God. Lord, we realize that this would not be a time that would benefit anyone unless you take charge. Unless that the Holy Ghost of God speaks to hearts. And Lord, you know every man's need. Lord, you know the secrets of our heart. You know them that are yours, those that are saved. And you know those that are lost. We pray, Father, for anyone that's in this service or with the children's church that is unsaved. Would you please draw them today and give them an opportunity to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, that they might be saved in this very service. And Lord, for those that are saved, we pray for your Spirit to prick our hearts. We ask, Father, that you do a pruning work today. If there's anything in us, Lord, that's hindering us from bearing much fruit or more fruit, would you please pluck it away, cut it off. Let the Holy Ghost of God press our heart with that matter. Help us, Lord, to come before you and ask God that you would do a work in us to take it away. Lord, make us more fruitful because of the work of the Holy Spirit of God this morning. Help me, Lord, to say the things that you would have me to say, or keep me back from saying things that would not aid or benefit this word to penetrate our heart. And so, Lord, anoint us with the Holy Spirit. Fill us, Lord, with the Holy Spirit. Use us this very hour that Jesus would be glorified. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen.
Amen.
out of all the parables that our Lord has ever given us, this is one of my favorite parables. I find a lot of helpful instruction here about my Christian life and how that God wants to use us as His children to do His work. If you'll remember the context, this is right after John 14, of course. And Jesus has said in John 14, I'm going away. So don't let your heart be troubled. I'm preparing a place for you, but I'm going away. And in that context, he says here in John 15, but I want to tell you how that you can still remain with me even though I'm going away. Some of the promises in John 14, 15, and 16 is that he's going to send the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit will come and indwell us. He will abide with us. He'll remain with us. But one of the promises as well is that we can continue in constant fellowship with Christ. Even though we don't have his physical presence, we can still abide with him. We can still remain with him. We can still dwell with him. And that's what Jesus is trying to get across to his disciples, that even though I'm not going to be with you physically, you can still abide in my presence. We've tried to go out this month, especially, and spread the good news. We need to be often reminded that we're not spreading that good news all alone. You and I are not alone. The Lord is with us. And I thank God for that. Amen. The gospel is this. The good news is this. Jesus saves us from sin. Isn't that good news?
Yes, sir.
Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
Amen.
He saves us from self-destruction. You know what sin does? It ruins your life. The devil makes it look like it's good and fun and great for you, but it's destructive. It will destroy your life. That's why God said to you often, don't do this. It's not because he wants you to live, in a slave state. He's trying to keep you from harming yourself and others. And not bringing him the glory that he rightfully deserves. Tries to save you from self-destruction. And ultimately, he tries to save you from suffering and damnation. Jesus will save you from hell. There is a real hell.
Amen.
And our Lord will save you and deliver you from that if you'll put your faith and trust in Jesus. So that's why it's important that we get the gospel message out to our community. And that they hear the good news that Jesus saves sinful men. But a major part or component to that witnessing is our union with Christ. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 4 verse 19. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Those both go together, amen?
Amen.
Follow me, and as you're following me, this is what I'll do. I'll make you to become those who will win men. See souls saved. Rescue the perishing. Follow me, and you can bring others to faith in Christ.
Amen.
The writer in Proverbs says something similar about that, how important it is that we live a righteous life, that we live close to Christ. When he wrote these words in Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. I remember reading about the tree of life in the garden. And they had access to the tree of life. But where did they go to? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Isn't that just like us? But he says in Proverbs, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. One of our difficulties in witnessing is that we're not as close to Christ as we need to be.
Amen.
That's why sometimes we're timid. We don't want to tell others about Christ because our own relationship with Christ is not what it ought to be. And because we're not close to him and we're not walking as he would have us to walk, then when we get out in the world, we're not the witness that we should be, because that is wrong first. And this is what Jesus is addressing here in John chapter 15, that if we would stay united with Him, trusting in Him, depending on Him, then God would use us to be fruit-bearing Christians to a world that's lost and dying and going to hell. I only have a couple of points this morning that I want to try to share with you. And the first is this, the aim of the vine. What is this about? What is God trying to accomplish? Trying to get us to understand that we are united with Christ, that He is the vine. We're just a branch attached to the vine. What is it that God is trying to get us to see? And what God is trying to get us to see is in verse 8. This is the aim of it. This is what God really wants. He wants to receive the glory that's due to His name. Amen. He says this in verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. That's the true aim of our abiding in Christ, is that the Father would be glorified because of the much fruit that's in our life. I want you to notice how often the Bible talks about this is the goal of Christianity, is that the Father would be glorified. It's not so that you and I get a certain position in heaven. It's not so we escape the flames of hell. It's so that you and I would bring glory to the Father. That's what it's all about. That's what your life is about. That when people look at you, they would see how great God is. Amen. That's being a witness. Amen?
Amen.
Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, Jesus said this way, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and what? And glorify your Father which is in heaven."
Amen.
We're supposed to do all that we do as Christians with that in mind. The glory of God. Our being the testimony that God wants us to be. In fact, Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. "Whether therefore you eat or you drink or whatsoever you do," what are we to do it for? Do all to the glory of God.
Amen.
It's not for our own benefit that we live. We live for the glory of God. We get that back in mind. Then when we're told by Christ to go out and preach the gospel to every creature, that's not a scary commandment anymore. That's a way that we can bring honor and glory to God.
Amen.
By spreading the gospel to the world, that they would hear about what God has done so that people could be saved.
Amen.
Remember, even in Philippians chapter 2, if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn there. Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul wrote that he wants us to be like Jesus. We're to have the mind of Christ in Philippians chapter 2. Listen to what he says in verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God," don't ever forget that, Jesus is God.
Amen.
He didn't become a God, He's always been God.
Amen.
He's eternal, the Son of God, the eternal Son of God. "Thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation." Verse 7 of Philippians 2. "Took upon Him the form of a servant." Can you imagine that? The Creator, the Sovereign of the universe, lived as a humble servant. Isn't that amazing? "And was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man," listen to what Jesus did. "He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus," that's verse 10, Philippians 2, "that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." Listen to this last phrase. "To the glory of God the Father." Amen?
Amen.
You know, that's a part of what the gospel is all about, is the glory of God the Father. Christ submitted Himself to the cross. Why? So that the Father would be known for how great and wonderful He truly is. When we withhold the gospel from the world doesn't hear about the glory of God and what God has done to save men and keep them out of hell. Amen?
Amen.
It's about God being glorified. That's why we should abide in Christ, cling to Christ, depend on Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Did you notice the progression in this verse? It starts out by saying he wants us to bear fruit. And then he says he wants us to bear more fruit. Did y'all catch it as we read? And then he said, I want you to bear much fruit. And really, when think about your Christian life. That's what the abiding in Jesus should be doing. It should bring you from bearing some fruit to bear more fruit, to bear much fruit. I want to ask you something. Do you see that in Christianity today? Sadly, a lot of times you don't see that in Christianity. Amen?
Amen?
You see little fruit, less fruit, and hardly no fruit. You know why that's true? Because we're not depending on Jesus Christ. We're trying to live the Christian life all in our own power and strength. We're trying to do God's work in the power of the flesh. We are just like the Laodiceans. We've got everything we need, and we don't even need Jesus. Isn't that what Laodiceans were doing? And listen, the truth is, we are making the same mistake. How many of you know or realize this? You can pray and not need Jesus to pray. Can you do that? Yes, you can do that. People pray and they don't even know Jesus. They still pray. Muslims pray 5 times a day. And they're still dead in their trespasses and sins.
That's right.
They don't need Jesus to pray 5 times a day, do they? No. You can pray and you don't have to have Jesus to help you pray. You certainly can go to church and not need Jesus, can't you? You can read the Bible, not need Jesus. How many of y'all would say amen? Is that true?
Amen.
A lot of what we do, we don't have to have Jesus as far as the world is concerned. And so we get used to living the Christian life without relying on Jesus. And because we're not relying on Jesus, the Father is not getting the glory he deserves. Some of you have found it hard to live the Christian life. We used to live in this area, and there's a guy in our community that was addicted to crack cocaine. And we met him door knocking, we witnessed to him. And finally he came to church, put his faith in Christ. And one day he came to the house and knocked on the door. I thought it was the police knocking so hard. You know, police, I don't know why, police knock hard on doors. Police are crazy. And so I go to the door and he's there and he just steps in the house. And he says, this Christian life, it's hard. It's hard to live the Christian. It's hard. It is hard if you're trying to do it without Jesus.
That's right.
But what did Jesus say about it in Matthew chapter 11? He said, learn of me. You who are weak, heavy laden, come to me and I'll give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's hard when you are trying to do it without Jesus. It's easy and light when you're depending on Christ for everything. And if you've gotten off track or you think it's hard, it's because you're not abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we don't abide in Christ, the Father does not receive the glory that he deserves. You should be able to put a faithful Jewish man here on the front. Faithful. You should be able to put beside him a faithful Buddhist. Sacrificial, committed. You should be able to put beside him a faithful Muslim, dedicated, believes everything that's written in the Quran. And you should put beside him a faithful Christian, And it should be that the Christian outshines them all.
Amen.
Why? Because Christ has indwelt him. And Christ is empowering him.
That's right.
Can I say something to you though? When you look at these examples in the world, how many of you know, to be honest, when you just watch the people's lives, there's not much distinction at all. How many would be honest enough to say, that's not true, preacher? You know why that's true? Because you and I have forsaken our dependence on Jesus for everything. And when we do that, the Father does not get the glory He deserves. Not only do you see a progression here, but you see a pruning here as well. In verse 1, the father that owns the vineyard comes along to our lives, Brother Lewis, and he cuts away things that we don't need. And you know what happened when God starts clipping away from most Christians today? They get upset and irritated and bothered. And they say, I didn't think the Christian life was supposed to hurt. I didn't think you're supposed to have difficulties. I didn't think you're supposed to have problems in the Christian life. And as soon as problems come and difficulties and trouble comes, guess what they do? They get their eyes off Jesus and they get them all on the problems and the troubles and the difficulties. By the way, you know what? You can find trouble even in church. You can find trouble anywhere. What's the purpose of troubles though? It's to get you to fix your eyes on Jesus and say, Jesus, without you, I can't make it through these troubles. I can't make it through this storm. I can't make it through this problem. I have to have your help to make the next step. We are not looking intently to Christ like we ought to. Amen?
Amen.
And because of that, he is not receiving the glory that he rightfully deserves. There's a pruning that's necessary in all of our lives. When that pruning takes place and God starts taking away and reducing, getting this flesh out. Guess what it does? It produces, he says, more fruit. More fruit. Some of you may be bearing fruit. Some of you may be bearing more fruit. Can I say something to all of us? God is not satisfied.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
You know what he wants from all of us?
More fruit.
More.
That's right.
Much. Isn't it amazing we can get to a point in our spiritual life and you say, well, I pray every day, I read my Bible, I pass out tracts, I witness to people. Doing real good, preacher. And God looks at us and he says, let me tell you something, you are not bringing me the glory that I deserve. I still deserve glory. I don't want every aspect of my life to bring him the glory that he rightfully deserves. And how many of you would say this morning, preacher, everything in me glorifies God? I could not say that. I'd have to be honest and say to you, that's not true. That's my goal. But that's certainly not the case. He wants us to bear much fruit. Now I want to say something about fruit itself. And you may disagree with this, but I want you to think about it. A lot of times you hear this phrase, the fruit of a Christian is another Christian. Now, say something to you. First of all, that's only partly true. Really, the fruit of a Christian is the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
You find that in Galatians chapter 5. Listen to it closely. In Galatians chapter 5, there is the desire of the flesh, lust of the flesh. And then there is the fruit of the Spirit, right? And what is Paul challenging us to do in Galatians 5? He's challenging us in Galatians 5 not to give in to the flesh. That's the problem all of us have.
Amen.
We've got to make a choice, right? Walk in the flesh or after the flesh or walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
That's our two choices, right? That's the Christian's choice. Either we can do what our flesh wants, or we can submit to the leadership of the Holy Ghost of God in our life. Amen?
Amen.
And what God wants is us to continually submit to the Holy Spirit. so that our fruit would be abounding. And as we live in that abounding fruit, we will tell others about Jesus and will have a great desire to tell others about Jesus. Why? Because we're living in with a goal of bringing God the glory that he rightfully deserves. Amen?
Amen.
So let me get to the abiding part of this. Abiding in the vine. What does that mean? The word abide means this. Remain, continue, endure, not to depart. This is one I like. Listen to this one. To continue to be present. To continue to be present. I like that one. Why? Because what abiding really means talks about an intimate relationship with God. That's what God's trying to get across. It's one of the best examples. It's better than the example of sheep, right? Because you can be a sheep and you don't really need the shepherd to be a sheep. You can still be a sheep and be lost from the shepherd, right? A family is not a great illustration either. One of the best is you cannot be a producing branch without a union with the vine itself. In fact, he gives us that example here. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. See the picture he's painting in your mind? Here's a great vine, here's the branch. If that branch is severed from that vine, what's going to happen to it?
It dies.
It will turn brown and dry up and die. You try to live the Christian life without Jesus, let me tell you what's going to happen to you. You're going to wither up.
Amen.
And dry up and never bear fruit. That's how vital Christ is to the Christian. Without him, you cannot be a soul winner. Without him, you cannot be a prayer warrior. Without him, you cannot worship like you ought to worship. Without him, you cannot understand the word of God. Everything's dependent upon Christ.
Amen.
And you and I need to get back to living our Christian life by first saying, Jesus, help me currently to do this that you want me to do. I tried to illustrate this before I went to, I used to work with a guy that was a Mormon. His name was Jeff. I'll not tell the last name, just in case he gets a... His name was Jeff. And you can ask Mr. Engel about this. I trained him, and I must have done such a poor job, they sent me out to train him again. So, and I witnessed to him, tried to point him to Jesus, and he said, all right, come over to my house, and I want you to talk to some elders. And I thought they might look like Brother Lewis, you know. They look more like Ethan. Young men. And I went over there, Brother Engel, and I'd been praying. I said, Lord, I don't know what to say to these guys. I'd studied, and God had showed me some things that I thought might be helpful. And I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me. Please help me. I went there, sat down with him, started talking to them, reasoning with them out of the scriptures, and afterwards, Jeff said, he said, well, they left Mormonism. They went back home. They're not on the mission work anymore because you witnessed to them. And I thought, well, thank the Lord. God did use something I said to try to help them some. And this is a mistake I made. Y'all know I make a lot of mistakes. And the only reason I'm telling you about this is because I want you not to make the same mistake. I went back, and Brother Michael, you know what I did? I thought, I got the right arguments now. I mean, I told these guys this, and boy, they didn't know what to answer about that. And then I shared this, and they didn't have a clue about that. And I was ready because I knew exactly what I was going to say this time, Brother John. I knew what to say. I didn't need the Lord's help this time. I knew what to say. And I sat down and I never seen words hit a dry wall and fall to the ground any faster than me trying to talk to those two men. What was the difference? The first time I went relying on Jesus and saying, Jesus, I can't do this. I need your help. The second time I went abiding not in Christ, but trusting in my flesh. And nothing of God brought glory to God in that conversation. Y'all see the difference what I'm trying to get across?
Yes, amen.
Abiding means clinging to Christ, depending on Christ, trusting in Christ. If I'm going to sing a song, Christ, you've got to anoint me. You've got to help me. If I'm passing out a tract, I don't know what to say, Jesus. Please use this and touch someone's heart. If I'm witnessing to someone, the same thing. I need Jesus. R.A. Torrey said it was in a service one time, and a lady there, a soul winner, came up to him and said, I've been trying to get this man to receive Christ for about 15 minutes. Would you please come up here and sit down and talk to him? Brother Torrey went up there, he sat down. Less than 5 minutes, the man bowed his head and accepted Christ as his Savior. She said, Brother Torrey, what did you say? What did you do? I tried every verse I could think of. I told him everything I could say about the gospel. And he was unmoved. In less than 5 minutes, he prayed and trusted Christ. What did you say? He said, I'll tell you what I did before I sat down. I said, Lord, I can't do this without your help.
Amen.
You know how many times we would go ahead and sit down? We know the gospel, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8. We know how to go through the... Is that true or not? What we're not doing is depending on Jesus.
Amen.
In every conversation, every time we stand to preach, every time we pass out a tract, say, Lord, I cannot do this without you.
Amen.
Abiding means that we rest in the vine. We rest. You say, Lord, this is your work. It's not my work. Lord, you love this person. You want him to be saved. I can't save him. Lord, you can do it. I cannot. It is just simply putting yourselves in the arms of Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm not much, but I am just going to trust you that you'll do something here that only God can do. We have to get back to that. Why do we have to get back to that? In order for the Father to be glorified. Amen?
Amen.
You need to get in the habit that when the phone rings, you pray a prayer. Lord, I don't know how to have this conversation. I don't know how to help these people. But you do. Let me tell you what I do when someone comes to me and says, Brother Tommy, can I ask you something? I used to watch my father-in-law, who's a pastor for years. He's pastoring now. He's 80 years old and he's a pastor. He just took another church. And I've seen him, Brother Andy, someone say, Brother Otis, let me ask you something. I need to ask the question. He would just do this. I was like, are you going to answer him? You know? He asked the question. And then he'd answer. And then he told me one day, riding down the road, I said, why such long pauses sometimes? He said, because I don't know what to say and I'm praying. God, tell me what to say.
Amen.
Help me to answer this question. Help me to help this person. Phone rings. So often someone said, Brother Tommy, I said, Lord, I don't have a clue. You don't want to know what happens? You say, Brother Tommy, can I get some counseling? You know what I do? I say, God, I don't have an answer. I have a clue. I don't know what to say. If they're going to get some help, God, you're going to have to help them. What is that? That is abiding in Jesus.
Amen.
That is clinging to Christ. That's depending on God to do something that only God can do. And some of you have forgotten that. It is just resting in Jesus Christ. It is relying on Jesus to do what Jesus can do. How many of y'all would agree with this? His power has not changed.
Amen.
That Jesus that walked on the seaside and performed miracles and stopped the storms and raised the dead. Has his power diminished? Has it waned? Is it less than what it once was? No! You know what he said to us? He said, I've done great works, but greater works than what I've done will you do.
Amen.
How can we do greater works than Jesus did? Certainly by relying on him.
Amen.
Never by doing it in our own power. Get back to Jesus. Get back to saying, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need your wisdom. Lord, I need your power. Lord, show me what to do. Rely on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Something important about this section of scripture, I want to close with it today. Look, if you would, in verse 7. He says this, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. You know what Jesus is saying there to you as a Christian? You know what Jesus is saying? Christianity is not a one-time experience, the new birth. You know what it is? It is a continuous relationship with God. If we could redefine Christianity, I would redefine it that way because so many Christians believe this. I made a trip to the altar and I got saved. That's it. That's all I needed. I got a ticket to heaven. That's not Christianity. Christianity is an ongoing, constant relationship with the risen Savior.
Amen.
It's constantly going before the Lord, listening to the Lord, talking to the Lord, spending time with the Lord. How many of you have ever faced this danger? You try to read your Bible through in a year, and you look at your Bible reading schedule, and it has you reading 3 chapters in Colossians. And so, you read those 3 chapters in Colossians, and you mark that little section off, read my 3 chapters, and then you go on. Now, I'm glad you're reading through the Bible. That's important. I wish every Christian would do that every year. But it's not just reading through the Bible that God wants. God wants to let the Bible go through you.
Amen.
He wants to speak to you. He wants to change you. He wants to spend time with you. How is it that I can ask anything of him and get what I want? It's because I'm so close to him that what I want is what he wants.
Amen.
What I desire is what he desires. Well, that's genuine prayer. Amen?
Amen?
Bear fruit. Bear much fruit. How am I going to do that? Why should I talk to lost sinners? Well, God commanded me to. I know that. But there's a lot of commands. Maybe I'm not doing that like I ought to. Well, because the Father deserves glory.
Amen.
This old world cusses God all the time. They curse God all the time. It's about time for some of his creation, his creatures, to say, God, I want you to be glorified. Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
How can I do that, preacher, though? By relying continuously upon Christ.
Amen.
Lord, I can't do anything without you. Verse 5. How many things I can do without Jesus? I can do nothing without him. But I can do all things with him. Amen?
Amen.
That's where you're going, Sister William. Right? I can't do anything without him. Guess what I can do with him? All things. We need to get back to doing what we do united with Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And that's where the passion comes. How many of you get up on a Sunday morning sometimes and it's time for church? You really just have no desire to go. Has that ever happened to you? Can I be honest with you? As a pastor, that happens to me. Sometimes that clock goes off and I'm like, oh. Sunday morning. You can get so burnt out with Christianity when you're just doing that, all of that stuff you have to do, and you're spending no time with Christ, and it's not for Jesus. Don't do that. Get back to doing what you do because you love Jesus. You want to spend time with Him, and you're trusting in Him to accomplish. I think if we got back to trusting Jesus, there's no telling what we would see in our day.
Amen.
And the church. But do you think we'd see a great revival of Christians started saying, Lord, I can't do this without you. Please help me. I think we'd see a revival. Amen?
Amen?
So let's do that. Let's stand for prayer. Father, Lord, please help us. Especially right now, this invitation.